From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, more Idaho Matters right now. Idaho gets almost 23,000 calls every year from people that suspect child abuse, neglect, or abandonment. This is according to Health and Welfare. Now, even though not all of those calls indicate child abuse, you can imagine that is a really scary number. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and here to talk about it are Roger Sherman. He is the Executive Director of the Idaho Children's Trust Fund and Grants Manager Kim Hemmert, who has been coordinating statewide activities for the month. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks for having us.
So, Roger, I want to start with you. Why is it so important that we dedicate April, entire month, to child abuse prevention? And this is a nationwide movement. It's not just here in Idaho.
Really, because it's an opportunity for us to, although we kind of think about child abuse prevention every day, April gives us an opportunity to talk about it, in a lot more places and with a lot more people. And so the idea being that, that prevention of child abuse and neglect is really something that all of us can play a role in. We can support more kids. We can support families. You know, it isn't the role of health and welfare or any other group particularly to prevent child abuse and neglect. It's for us to create the kind of thriving communities that support families and the thriving families that can support kids.
And so, Roger, what does the Idaho Children's Trust Fund do exactly in terms of, helping children who may be in these situations?
So we are actually an organization that provides funding, training, support to a network of organizations statewide who really are working from the north to the south and the east and the west, throughout your whole broadcast area and beyond. And so our work really is to support the organizations who are on the ground doing things like providing home visitation, who are providing parent training, who are providing parent support groups, who are doing work in community to help us develop systems of support that help to strengthen families. As we say, the National Child Abuse Prevention Month is really a time to focus on what we can do and what we can do about strengthening communities and families to create the best environments and relationships for kids to thrive.
And Kim, let me bring you into the conversation, because one thing that always makes me remember and recognize that it is Child Abuse Prevention Month every year is we see all of these blue pinwheels all around. What do they represent, and why a blue pinwheel?
Yeah, the blue pinwheel is the national symbol for child abuse prevention, and it represents what we want for every child, a happy, healthy, carefree childhood. So when you see the pinwheels, they're fun. They remind us of childhood, and what we want for every child is to have a happy, healthy, and carefree childhood. The blue part of it is part of the national symbol too, that it represents Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we have a Wear Blue Day every Wednesday and Friday this month, so people can get involved by wearing blue, by planting pinwheels. We really want this to be a community effort for people to get involved in ways that strengthen families, to raise awareness of how to prevent child abuse and neglect.
And Roger, can we talk a little bit more in depth about the symptoms of child abuse or the signs? I mean, what should people try to be aware of? Because as you mentioned, I think sometimes, we're all in our own bubbles, right? And we're busy with our own lives. And as a community, maybe there's more that we can do if we're all just a bit more mindful.
Sure. A lot of times what we're going to see is a change in behavior. Sometimes it's really hard to tell, there are kids who respond to abusive to abuse by really being perfect, by trying to be really great, and other kids who clam up, and other kids who act out. And so change in behavior is really important. And that's the thing we want to be able to watch. And teachers and people who's in parents and others who see kids daily are better able to see that. Obviously, the obvious things are bruises, burns, other things that are considered, in the legal definition of abuse. But oftentimes we don't necessarily see those. So again, change in behavior is really important. And then I think the other thing that we really have to be mindful of is, what's called grooming, or, activities that help to bring a kid or even the adults into a trusting relationship. And then you see violations of boundaries. And so I think that's another thing that bystanders or any of us who are in space with people can really start to look at. Does that cross the line from just being nice to a child to, actually trying to do something inappropriate? Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for us to be looking at, also the people who are around our kids.
And, as I mentioned in the beginning of this conversation, that according to Health and Welfare, about 23,000 calls a year come in. In regards to child abuse or neglect or abandonment, not all of those cases are shown or substantiated to be child abuse. So Roger, with that said, I think sometimes people are also hesitant to call if they're kind of like, well, maybe I'm overreacting, or maybe I'm just saying something I'm not, or yeah, I know it's a, I know I have this gut feeling, but whatever. Is it better for someone to call and say, I saw this, or I think this, than to not? And I ask that because I think, even if you get 100 calls that don't amount to anything, maybe you get one call that does.
I think it's nuanced, but I mean we say that if it's, if you have a suspicion, that something has happened, you should call. And those calls can be anonymous, so people don't have to worry about, somebody coming back on them. On the other hand, I think we also need to look at, the situations. It shouldn't be we need more opportunities for people to call in, when they're struggling, right, as a parent, because sometimes people just feel like, I've heard you say it a lot of times, parenting is hard.
It's so hard.
And, so hard. And most of us don't end up crossing the line to being abusive. But it's hard. And, if you have maybe grown up in an abusive environment, or you, have had experiences with what we call adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, you may be more reactive as a parent. And so how do we help parents, right at the beginning of their parenting journey to learn best how to support their kids? We like to talk about the idea, in reporting, of being mandated supporters. How can we actually even provide a role in addition to thinking about reporting? Is what can we be doing to support a new parent? As we all know, crying is such a difficult, it's when the kids are babies and they cry all the time, it can be maddening, right? Mm-hmm. And even the most calm among us are going to be, brought to our knees. So, how do we help support, the families so that things like shaken baby don't occur?
Right. And I think, and that's the thing, Roger, is like, how can we support parents, right, before it ever gets to that point. Kim, I do want to ask, though, so what are there activities or events going on this month that folks can get involved with during the whole month of April?
Yeah, we have a variety of events. Some have already occurred and some are still upcoming, but to highlight some of them, we had a kickoff Child Abuse Prevention Month activity up in Lewiston at the Lewiston Library. And that was a really great way for families to be able to connect, to be able to understand and know what their resources are, and to better identify how to prevent child abuse and neglect. Other events that we have a event going on at Boise State campus this afternoon, actually. So if you're in Boise, come on over to the Jordan Ballroom at Boise State and check out our event going on there. We have events in Eastern Idaho. They've had at Eastern Idaho Public Health, they have a Children's Block Fest event. We have events going on at the Air Force Base in Mountain Home. They're doing an outreach fair. We have different training opportunities for child sexual abuse prevention, all the way from Coeur d'Alene to Pocatello. We're doing a screening of the Resilience Idaho movie. Mm. And we have had different mayoral proclamations around the state. We've had a governor's proclamation. One of the really cool things that people might see around is there's a put in cups pinwheel display on fences to show the symbol of child abuse prevention. And we would invite and encourage anyone who wants to be a recipient of put in cups in future years to get involved, to really identify yourself as an organization or an entity that wants to strengthen families, that wants to be part of this work, to support children, to support families, and to give kids the best opportunity they have to thrive. Those are some of the events that we have going on. You can mm-hmm. find out more information on our website at the Idaho Children's Trust Fund under Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we have the whole list for the whole month of all of our calendared events.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for coming on and talking about this. It's so necessary that we talk about it and get the information out there. We've been talking with Roger Sherman, the Executive Director of the Idaho Children's Trust Fund, and Grants Manager Kim Hemmert, who has been coordinating all the statewide activities for the month for the Trust Fund. We will, of course, also put links with more information on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.